Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Creator. I'm your host, Daniel Plume. Today, we have a dynamic conversation with Kyle Kane, a fractional CMO for some 60 companies and soon to be 100. Kyle's not just a marketer, but he's a true creator at heart, deeply involved in the creation process at Nobody Studios, the venture studio co-founded by a recent guest on the show, Barry O'Reilly. In the show, Kyle shares his perspectives on the transformative power of AI in marketing, company ideation, and bringing products to market, from A/B testing and validating new ideas to media and channel planning. Kyle believes there's a role for AI across it all. We touch on data privacy, compliance, and how you can quickly assemble teams of experts to tackle issues with AI. And most interestingly, though, Kyle believes we're in the iron age when it comes to AI. But in the maelstrom and disorder, there is significant opportunity. So whether you're a startup founder or marketing professional, this episode is packed with takeaways. So let's go Behind the Creator with Kyle Kane. Thank you for coming and joining us on Behind the Creator. Now, I know you work as a fractional CMO across some 50, 60 brands right now. And I'm interested and intrigued to hear what you have to say around what you're seeing out there in terms of AI and what companies that you're working with, your clients, are coming to you with, what they're thinking about, what they're saying. Just get a sense check of what's going on.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. You're right. Yeah, Nobody Studios is building 100 companies over the next 5 years. So I plan to be fractional CMO of 100 of them. And, you know, some of these companies I'll take a larger role in than others. We're actually in the process of founding a new company together, in which case I'll be the CEO for a while until we find a founder to bring that to market. But in all of these scenarios that we're talking about, there are specific opportunities where AI just simplifies the company creation process. From my perspective as a marketer, you know, between A/B testing and really finding the right messaging and fine tuning that messaging, you know, that's an expensive, arduous process. Now with AI, we can do it in a weekend. Earlier on in the company creation process, in terms of ideation and concept phases, you know, we have ways now to determine the value of an idea, determine the value of a particular piece of intellectual property. Whereas, you know, expensive IP attorneys and copyright attorneys, trademark attorneys, this is something that would handicap any startup, you know. All the way through from beginning to end, we're seeing AI really disrupt the company creation process.
And what are you seeing in terms of validating new ideas? And I guess that's really quite tangential and sort of symbiotic with kind of bringing a product to market, bringing a business to market. But what developments and what things are you seeing from a testing point of view that is just chalk and cheese right now in terms of validation and just, you know, trying out new things?
Yeah, well, you know, I consider myself a creator first and foremost. You know, I had to figure out how to build IP before I could teach others how to do it. So I'm spending most of my time, you know, talking to my AI bots and my AI apps. You know, at one time I was calling board meetings, you know, and we'd sit in front of giant whiteboards and with big teams. And not to say that there's not value in that. That's really where most of the magic happens. But before I get there, how I prep for that meeting has completely changed. So, you know, I'm spending an hour conversing with AI before I bring those ideas to market. You mentioned where the sort of rubber meets the pavement, right? So once we get this component that we say, okay, this is something we want to build in, something we want to invest time and money and resources into, first check is, okay, well, who else is doing this? What else is available? How big is the space? What is the market cap? You know, what is the exit strategy? And, you know, there are ways to be able to do that now that just didn't exist before. So that becomes a huge lift for us, a huge opportunity. And as we move forward into actually moving the company to market or the idea to market, finding where the communities live, you know, where are these pockets of fans or customers, and what other industries might we be disrupting as we bring this to market? And how can we turn potential competitors into allies by tweaking that messaging before it hits market? So, I mean, just so many opportunities there to be able to take AI and turn it into a marketing machine.
Yeah, it's interesting you sort of speak about going to market there. My next question was literally around how is that how is AI or new technology having an impact or an influence on how companies are going to market? Like, are there new channels, new formats, new ways that companies are trying to exploit via AI? And are you, you know, helping to steer some of these companies through that challenge or opportunity, I should say?
Yeah, we certainly are helping companies to steer through those waters. There are a few pieces to your question there to unpack. I would say there's a lot of opportunity in format. There hasn't been much evolution in format, but every day there's a new channel. So the question becomes, as a company bringing a product to market, is how do you cut through the digital jungle? You know, it is expensive, it is arduous, it is time consuming, it is difficult. And for a company with a lean startup budget, you don't have the luxury of spending six figures on Meta advertising to cut through that jungle. So number one is, as a founder, as a creator, we need to understand what is algorithmic visibility and how often does that change. And there are nine key factors to algorithmic visibility. And I have a presentation on this I'd be happy to share with you. But we only typically talk about one of those factors, you know, likes and engagement, content and you know, comments and shares. But that is just one of the nine. And if you don't understand the nuances of these platforms, then you're literally just throwing your money into a black hole. So where AI comes in is, instead of having to guess and check all these different things out there in the world, we're able to iterate. So if we can train AI on our target personas, we can throw ads and test things against that persona and see how it might react. And that has gained tremendous insights for us in terms of how we define the product early on, and then how we define our go-to-market strategy so that we don't have to come to the table with a war chest of capital to bring a new company to market.
And I'm always interested in that kind of channel mix and testing hypotheses and looking at various, you know, what does the media landscape actually look like in terms of reaching target audiences? And it's interesting you say that's, you know, that's part of what you're doing in terms of training it and firing scenarios at it, I guess. How confident are you in what you get back out? And I know that this is maybe it's a bit of a loaded question, but I'm interested sort of here from your perspective, where you think it's at in terms of, you know, betting the house on a particular answer that you get.
Yeah, look, we are unusually convinced that what we get back from these experiments are, you know, there's always a degree of variation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, any experiment. And there are quite a few factors when you're testing something through a traditional sense, where there's the time and money spent on the ad and the message and the look and the feel and the design and the market and the industry and the climate. I mean, there's so many pieces, right? But with AI, it's in a bubble. We're in a vacuum. We can minimize those other variables. So that increases my confidence as a marketer in the results. If we're able to train multiple personas and we're able to throw stuff at those personas and see how they react, one persona is going to react more positively than the other. So it's a constant evolution of optimization. We're constantly testing and validating and optimizing, testing, validating, optimizing. Eventually you get to the point where your confidence speaks and you say, okay, I'm ready to put my money behind this. I'm ready to put this out in the market. But until we get to that point, it's a continuous evolution of validating, and AI just makes this process easier, more efficient, and less expensive.
So would you say that today we're probably in a kind of bit of a golden age when it comes to entrepreneurs, founders, building something new, getting it to market fast, testing it, trying things out? And what advice are you giving to the companies that you work with in terms of taking advantage of some of the definite and obvious opportunities out there?
So I've put together a marketing AI toolkit, which I like to share with my folks. But again, you know, this is something that's living and breathing and changes all the time as we get different things thrown at us. I would not say that we are in the golden age. I would say that this is more of the iron age. You know, this is where you've got, you know, and you're inundated with potential solutions. I think most of the companies launching AI products now, we will not see in the next few years. So as an entrepreneur, you have to be very mindful of who you're putting your chips behind, you know, to invest in some sort of partnership for development or some implementation. and then to find out that the company was underfunded or disrupted, you know, so that's sort of the challenge. So that's why I think this is more of the Wild West still. I think what's going to happen is we're going to be ushered into the golden ages, and I'm very much looking forward to that. But I think, yeah, you know, the real opportunities, and I think entrepreneurs know this. I mean, you know, we find our gold in the Iron Age, not in the golden age. So, you know, when there's chaos in the world is when wealth is created.
I think I'm trying to remember who the famous quote is.
That, there's something I was trying to get to it, but I didn't want to misquote, so I just created my own.
it's in chaos there is opportunity, I think.
Right, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, that's gonna eat at me. Anyway, yeah, we digress. So yeah, what advice are you obviously pointed out that there are some pitfalls and some things to be conscious of when comes to investment, and you've got your marketing toolkit that you work with. So what are the sort of big bits of advice that you're giving to the founders and the companies that you're working with at the moment? What can you share with us?
Well, you know, I think the one cool thing about this Wild West is that the playing field is leveled. You know, I mean, there are guys who have been immersed in AI for a decade, and as a new founder or entrepreneur, you're able to catch up to that person in a couple of months of study. Right? So that's the cool thing about this. I would always be mindful to know what you don't know. So for me personally, growing up as an entrepreneur, I mean, I built, you know, over 60 businesses myself, and all the brands that I've built, a lot of the early stage technology investments we made went belly up. You know, so I've created this limiting belief for myself as an entrepreneur that technology is difficult and it's expensive and it's not going to last long, right? It depreciates instantly. Mm-hmm. I feel like I always felt like technology was like a used car lot.
Yeah.
But now, now that these tools are now accessible to me as a entry level tech person, right? I now feel empowered to be able to make these decisions on my own. And so the more that I learn about how to use these products properly to bring a new idea to market, I also realize how much I don't know about things like data privacy and compliance and governance, right? And so I think it's important to surround yourself with diversity in thinking, diversity in skill sets. So this new company that we're launching underneath the Nobody Studios umbrella, that's called Toki Inc., by the way, shameless plug. Okay. I brought on a new CTO to this company who has a technology passion in the background, 25-year global leader for PwC. So he's focused on the privacy. He's jazzed up about, you know, the new laws and governance as it relates to AI. So as a founder, that's what I would encourage is to understand what you're really excited about, and then understand what you need to be excited about, and bring those folks who light you on fire about those things that, you know, you might be left in the dark. And that's really, I think, how we're building this company is we're sort of lighting these individual, you know, Toki torches around this circle, and eventually we'll all be able to illuminate this thing. And that's one quote I remember is, I think it's like all rising tide raises all ships. I still
remember.
It's
interesting you mentioned diversity of thought. Like I've read a book a few years ago by Matthew Syed, Rebel Ideas, and he talks about you have your known universe that you, and if you like, you draw the diagram and lots of circles, and if you have a box of everything that's possible, you want to try and fill as much of that box with people's perspectives as you can, and like the more diverse, the more of that surface area you cover, the more interesting ideas you can come up with, the more certainty and guarantees you have around that you're not missing anything and things don't fall through those cracks. Are you going to pull that book out now?
Well, no, actually, this is a book called Contagion. Have you seen this book before?
No.
So yeah, this is a book by Jonah Berger. Fantastic book. I think this book was actually written quite some time ago, but 2009 it was originally written. But this is never more relevant to me than it is today. And just the fact that, you know, that what we're really talking about is, you know, human powered AI, because, you know, you mentioned, you know, how are we using these tools to go to market? And, you know, I mean, AI is not going to be able to bring something to market by itself yet, right? It's like, it's really how we as humans use these tools. This is the second book that I'll show you. It's called The Art of Leapfrogging. I actually have about a 10-page spread in this book. But besides that point, this book specifically, there are interviews from folks like the founder of Reebok, and they talk about how they take one idea and turn it into a moonshot. And the idea of not having to step lily pad to lily pad and being able to sort of leapfrog through that, that to me is the ultimate definition of what AI brings to the table. You know, it allows us to leapfrog everything from, you know, ideation and concept all the way through to testing marketing strategies and go to market. So now as a person that's not very technologically savvy, I can use AI to leapfrog my way into a market.
Yeah, it was doing all of those things at once. That's the impressive thing about it, is you can you can do that big project, you can do the big work while super like accelerating all those other steps. So how you mentioned data and governance and security, and like that is a big stumbling block, and IP as well, and like people are really grappling particularly around generative AI.
I didn't want to mention that stuff, Daniel. I didn't want to. I had to begrudgingly. Yeah.
So I was going to say, the companies that you're working with, obviously that has got to be a core consideration. Like, what are they doing to sort of safeguard? Is there anything that you can advise or conversations that you're having with them right now about, you know, protecting their IP, about ensuring the security of data, protecting it from, you know, exposing it unnecessarily via AI? Like, what's the conversations you're having around that?
Well, you know, I like to talk about things I'm passionate about. So I'm having these conversations because I have a fiduciary responsibility to my investors and our stakeholders. Mm. But there's nothing that I would say, hey, you know, this is the right path to take. I would say there are attorneys that I found that, you know, same with how I look for partners with complementary skill sets. They think differently and they're really excited about the legalities around AI. And so those are the people who I've worked with. One is my corporate attorney, David Seidman. You know, he's been my attorney for about 20 years. So when I joined the studio a couple of years ago, you know, David's been my guy. And so as I guess and check the different business models, and as we've decided, you know, sort of how to evolve this idea into a company that actually will find its place in the market, David's the guy who brings the AI and corporate governance to the table for me. Also, you know, part of the value proposition of Nobody Studios is, I mean, we know that if a founder is super drilled into building a product, the last thing they're probably thinking about is, well, you know, data privacy, or at least maybe not a tech driven. You know, a guy like me who's entrepreneurial driven and happens to bring tech into the picture. So having a studio where you've got very specific experts that are the best in their field, you know, world class, to be able to draw from and bring in to the mix without having to jeopardize your cap table, or without having to come, you know, with a $10,000, $20,000 a month retainer to bring this attorney in or bring this expert in. That's the benefit of the venture studio. One of the benefits of the venture studio to me. So, you know, being able to hatch my concepts within the Nobody Studios ecosystem means that I can pull from these other experts where I have weak points. And you know, that's what I would say is one of the things that helps to get around some of this for me personally.
Yeah, for sure. So a couple more questions then, because I realize we're up against it. So who do you see that's doing it well when it comes to not necessarily even just implementing AI, but building a brand, business, or even like a specific product that, you know, that is leading the way? And what are they doing differently that we can learn from?
Well, that's a good question, Daniel, because, you know, I am not an AI expert, as you sort of alluded to in the beginning. I'm an expert at creating IP, and the AI piece to me is new. Where I see the benefit and the opportunity in the market of AI and branding, you know, you've got the old folks, the IBMs and the Microsofts and the Googles and the, you know, NVIDIAs, and now we got the OpenAIs. You know, I mean, these companies are light years ahead, right, in terms of what they're developing. But as you can see, these companies have a very specific strategy of acquisition, because they know, just like we're talking about, I mean, you know, the world can be disrupted by some, you know, 12-year-old girl on her couch in Morocco playing Roblox right now. And so understanding that, it's really about access to talent and access to, you know, the people that are having the solutions to some of the world's problems, wherever they might be, in every corner of the earth. So there are some smaller brands that are doing some really cool things that nobody will know about until they're bought by a bigger brand and absorbed into the, you know, into the mix. We see a lot of leading companies in AI that are less focused on branding and more focused on technology. And I think that's been sort of the trade-off, is, you know, you get a lot of tech-focused founders that just don't have the marketing muscles. So I think some of the best brands in AI we don't know about, you know, for that reason, is because they're so focused on building things. When I take a look at some of the, you know, the top players, the Aristas and ASMLs and Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Co., you know, these are companies that are spending hundreds of millions of dollars into the space. And to think that, you know, that 12-year-old girl on her couch can compete with these guys, you know, that is the Wild West, right?
Yeah.
that's the definition of what we're talking about. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but those were just the thoughts that popped up.
Yeah. No, it feels equal parts exciting and absolutely terrifying, because there is obviously an acknowledgement and a real race to make AI work in some way, shape or form. Like, a lot of the products and services that I use that I have used for a long time and now kind of retrofitting AI into things. I look at LinkedIn at the moment, and I look at the terrible use cases that it has got for AI that they are forcing upon its users, and I just think this is not sustainable. You're creating solutions for problems that no one was having, versus people who are coming up, like you said, the 12-year-old girl on a couch in Morocco, like, who are just having this epiphany, this idea, and playing around with available tools without coding knowledge, pulling stuff together, creating something which could go absolutely stratospheric. And that feels, like you said, Wild West. But I mean, imagine being the CTO of one of these large scale companies, looking at that roadmap, looking at the possible world of that they are trying to devise and develop new products and services into, and just I don't think I want that job.
The answer is community, right? The answer is empower that 12-year-old girl, empower those people with the tools to disrupt. And if you can host that environment, if you can own the venue where these ideas are coming through, well, then you can maintain your seat of comfort, knowing that you're empowering people that will give back to you and give back to the communities that you're pouring into, you know? So that's the thesis for me as an entrepreneur, as a founder, as a creator, is to build these communities and then empower those communities to do things that I cannot do on my own.
That's a perfect place to end it. Thank you, Carl. I really appreciate your time.
You too, Daniel. Thanks for your time. Talk to you soon.
And that's it. That's our show. Thanks to Carl Kane for his time and coming to talk to me, talk to us about the AI and the work that he's doing at Nobody Studios. Coming up next time, we have Erica Schneider. Now, if you don't know who Erica is, I recommend you go and check her out on LinkedIn and get a feel for who she is before the show. No holds barred, pulls no punches. Really, really incredible show about building an audience on a singular channel, in this instance, LinkedIn. Please do like and subscribe to the show. Come and find us on LinkedIn. You can find us at ThoughtFormer. If you've got recommendations for guests, come and tell us about them. If you want to give us some feedback on the show, come and tell us. Really open, really honest, really want to hear your feedback and make sure that we're producing great shows for you guys. Okay, brilliant. Well, that's all we've got time for today. So until the next time, bye-bye.